Our pastor, Andy Bratton, has been doing a series on discipleship, and he asked me if I would speak on that topic here this morning. And my message here this morning is primarily for the church. It is for all who are followers of Jesus. It is not an easy message, but it is the message of Jesus. Jesus did not call the church to make Christians. Rather, he called us to go and make disciples, that is, followers of Jesus. What does it mean to be a disciple or a follower of Jesus Christ? There are many ideas, there are many opinions and theories, yet the best way to understand what it means to be a disciple of Jesus is by simply understanding and applying what Jesus said. The call to make disciples is found in a very familiar passage in Matthew 28. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." Now, we've gone that far this morning. We saw two young ladies baptized into Jesus Christ. But this passage continues on just as it must continue on for those two young ladies. "And teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I will be with you always to the very end of the age." Many of us are familiar with the call to make disciples and baptize them. That's the easy part. What is the real challenge of discipleship is, as Jesus goes on to say, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. What did Jesus command us to teach disciples? My focus here this morning is the heart of a disciple. In Proverbs chapter 4, we read, "Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life." Jesus is not just interested in getting a hold of your head or giving you information. He wants to change and transform your heart. And the characteristics of a disciple impacts every aspect of our heart. There are five characteristics of a disciple that Jesus identifies. And each one deals with an important issue in one's heart. Jesus, in Matthew 16, makes the way of discipleship very clear. He said that if anyone would come after me, if you want to be a follower of Jesus, if you want to be a Christian, if you want to be a believer, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. You see, the heart of a true disciple of Jesus is a heart of sacrifice. The greatest barrier in your life in being a disciple is me, myself, and I. This is the battle that we faced. When you and I were baptized into Christ, he crucified that old self. The power of sin was rendered powerless. But the desire can still well itself up. And we must choose, as a disciple, to have a heart of sacrifice, to be willing to say no to what our self wants, and yes to what Jesus wants. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a German pastor under Nazi Germany. And because of his preaching, he was imprisoned. In fact, the last man that Hitler ordered to be murdered was Dietrich Bonhoeffer. But Dietrich wrote from prison in a book that later was published called The Cost of Discipleship. He says that Jesus bids a man come and die. John, are you trying to recruit people for the church? No, I'm trying to recruit people to Jesus, because those are the terms. If anyone will come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Whoever wants to save his life ultimately is going to lose it. But if you lose yourself, your life for Jesus, you will find life. Honestly, ask yourself this morning, what is more important in your life right now than Jesus? Do you love something or someone more than Jesus? I know that's a hard question to ask, but that's what Jesus said. How about food? Do you know that in America today, 42% of Americans are grossly obese? That is a real problem in our lives. Sometimes we love food and things like that more than Him. How about entertainment? It has been said that on the tombstone of America will be written, they entertained themselves to death. How about a sin habit in your life? We all have them or have had them. We've all battled with those things. Some are secret. Do you know that this year alone, $12 billion was spent on pornography in America? Jesus said, if you are to have the heart of a disciple, it is the hardest sacrifice to say no to self, to no to sin, and to follow me. The encouraging thing is, as you give your life to Christ, He empowers you. As you are baptized, you're crucifying your old life, and He's empowering you with Himself. What is the Holy Spirit saying to you this morning about a heart of sacrifice? I don't know where you are in your life necessarily. Some of you I do. What are you struggling with? But you know, the neat thing is the Holy Spirit has this ability to hone in on that one thing that we're battling with. And He asks us, are you willing to sacrifice that one sin, that one thing that is in control of your life for my sake? Secondly, Jesus goes on to say in John 8:31, if you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciple. The true heart of a disciple of Jesus is to love and know God's Word. God's Word is vital to the life of every believer. I have hidden your Word in my heart that I might not sin against you, the Scriptures tell us. Your light, your Word is a light into my path and a lamp into my path. It guides and directs us as to where He wants us to go. It's vital in our lives, and you cannot grow, you cannot mature as a believer, a follower of Jesus, apart from building God's Word into your life. And the Word of God oftentimes gets to the heart issues that we're struggling with. Hebrews tells us, indeed, the Word of God is living and active. It's sharper than a double-edged sword, piercing until it divides soul and spirit, joints from marrow. It is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. I'm not asking you this morning if you're reading God's Word. What I'm asking is, what is the Holy Spirit saying to you when you read God's Word? Is He speaking to you? You know, it's amazing how God's Word, you can read a passage, it doesn't mean anything. But to the next person over there, it just cuts them right to the heart. And as you read to listen for what the Holy Spirit will say to you in your life. The heart of a disciple is a heart of sacrifice. The heart of a disciple is one who has the love and desire to not only know God's Word, but to obey God's Word in their life. In John 13, we find the heart of a disciple is someone with a genuine love for people. All men will know that you are my disciples by the love you have for one another. How you and I love, especially the unlovable people that come into our life, is a real testimony of the realness of Jesus in your life. But loving people is not always easy. It takes us out of our comfort zone. I was a brand new campus minister at Michigan State University, and I was being introduced at the campus house, and There was about 100 students who were crammed into a room. And across the room was the most unattractive girl that I'd ever seen in my life. Her name was Loretta Castle. Loretta was overweight. She had long, greasy hair. She had cancer in her face. She was missing an eye, and the eye patch kept falling off. She had these huge bumps all over her body, and she didn't smell very well at all. When I was introduced, Loretta, in the back side of the room, said, "John!" And she started running over, grabbed me around the waist in a bear hug, and picked me up off the floor. I was grossed out. So I went to Gary Haas, who at that time was my boss. I said, "Gary, we got to do something about Loretta. She's going to turn these students off." Gary never got mad at me more than, I think this was the only time. And he turned and he looked at me and he said, "I'm going to tell you something right now. Loretta Castle is the most important person in this room because she teaches us how to love." You know, as I went from Michigan State to Western Michigan to the University of Michigan, every year in every campus ministry, we had a Loretta Castle. Every year, we had somebody like that. But I learned that that is the person that teaches us truly what it means to love. Anybody can love Andy. He's easy. But don't you have somebody like Loretta in your life? That's the true test of discipleship, of a heart of love that Jesus has for us. Who has the Holy Spirit brought into your life to love? Who is that difficult person? Hopefully it's not your wife or your husband, but sometimes it is. Do you have somebody like that? Maybe you're the one. But you see, the heart of a disciple is not only a heart of sacrifice, willing to say no to self and yes to what Jesus wants. Not only with a deep love for God's word to know what he says and to apply it into our lives, but it is to express the very same kind of love that Jesus showed to you. You see, Jesus didn't tell you, "Clean up your life and come follow me." He said, "You come follow me and I will clean up your life for you by my grace." You know, it doesn't get easier from here. But I mean, if we as the church, as the true followers of Jesus, want to know what it means to be a disciple, then we must heed the words that Jesus says. And the seriousness of being a disciple is found in Luke 14:33, when Jesus said that anyone who does not give everything he has cannot be my disciple. You must give everything you have. Now, is that too much to ask, you say? When you became a follower of Jesus, you gave up your life and everything in it, but in exchange, you receive salvation and sin from sin and death to follow Jesus. My senior year in high school, I was a very popular fella. I did very well in sports. I did okay in school. I had lots of friends. But I, on the inside, I was a happy guy, you would think. But I'll be honest with you, I was the most miserable person in that school. Because in my heart of hearts, I knew that I was not saved. And if I were to die, I would go to hell. Now, I didn't know what to do. Nobody ever told me what to do. But I knew from the little that I had heard that I was in big trouble. In fact, there were some times, believe this or not, on Christmas and Easter, when all the churches had gone out, they had emptied their services, I would go to those church buildings and I would just pray, "God, save me." That's how desperate I was. Few people knew it. I remember a particular time I was washing the dishes with my sister. And I can still picture the soapy suds I was washing, she was drying. And I was thinking about these things, and it so troubled me, I began literally to cry, and I can still see my teardrops falling into those soap suds. Now, I don't know if you've ever gotten to that point in your own personal life, because if you haven't, then you don't see a need for Jesus. But I knew so well that I was separated from God and that I had no hope until an older man in our congregation, Jim Morehouse, invited me to a Bible study with him and the pastor of the church, Ivan Oder. That's a name, Ivan Oder. His sister was Ima Jean Oder. Ima Oder. Parents had a sense of humor, I guess. And we would meet on Friday night. Can you believe this? A 17-year-old kid meeting with the pastor of a church and one of the elders of the church at 7 o'clock at night on Friday. Well, I'm just telling you, that's how desperate I was. And you know what the coolest thing was? All he did was share with me what the scripture said. Of course I was a sinner. Of course I was separated. But there was hope. And the only hope for my life was Jesus. And I will still remember March 25th, 1973, Sunday morning, Pastor Oder gave an invitation. And I stood up and I walked down that aisle. And I would tell you, literally, there was a gasp from the youth group. Nobody knew what I was really struggling with. And I know that some of you are in the same place. You look good on the outside, but in the inside, you're dead as can be, and you're hurting. And I walked forward, and he took my confession of faith, and I was baptized into Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you, I don't know how to explain it any other way. It was as if the weight of the world was lifted off my shoulders. I had a peace and a hope. I was no longer afraid to die. Now listen, when you're that desperate and you find a hope that great, what wouldn't you do? Anyone who does not give everything he has cannot be my disciple. I was willing to do anything. There's a whole lot more to that story that I'd love to tell you about sometime. But let me ask you, is it too much to ask? You know, we have communion here this morning. Do you remember what that's about? He suffered and died on the cross to save your life. We sang some songs. Have you ever listened to the words? I mean, the musicians are great, but have you ever listened to the message? Do you really believe that? If you believe that, how could you do anything else but give all to follow Jesus? How do you use your time, your talents, and your treasures? Jesus says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be. You know what would be interesting, Andy, and I don't think we should do this, but maybe we could just pick a random person and get their checkbook out. And just see what they're buying and where their money goes to. Because Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart is. My point is, if you know the salvation that he has given to you, Jesus, you have it all. My time, my talent, and my treasure. Do you know right now there are 22 missionaries that are, at least 22, that are trapped in Afghanistan and likely to be murdered by the Taliban? Because they are preaching the gospel. A number of years ago, a young man that influenced my life greatly was Jim Elliott. Jim Elliott gave his life in sharing the gospel with the Aka Indians in Ecuador. Many thought he had wasted his life. Why are you leaving the United States? You could do so much good here. He says, why should I stay here where you guys have heard everything? You got more Bibles coming up to Snozola than you know what to do with. And these people have never even heard about Jesus. So Jim Elliott and four other believers went to preach the gospel to the Aka Indians. It's a long story. It's featured in a book called Through Gates of Splendor. I highly recommend it. But the end of that story is that Jim Elliott was speared through and murdered by those headhunting Indians trying to share the gospel with them. You know, that story doesn't end there. That so impacted the entire nation. Some of you are older, probably remember it. Time magazine featured a huge spread about that. But Jim's wife, Elizabeth, with a young daughter, stayed there. And through God's grace and providence, an opportunity was for her to go into that tribe and live with those Aka Indians. She found the story. She spoke to the man who murdered her husband and led him to Christ. And she had the opportunity to baptize him into Jesus Christ. See, God, when we surrender all, it's amazing what God can do in our lives. I'm simply asking you this morning, what are you willing to give for Jesus and the kingdom of God? I mean, this is life and death, people. I mean, what do you say to a wife whose husband has just passed away if there is no hope in Jesus? What do you say to the parents of a young child that has passed away? We must find something. And if this isn't real, then let's not play games. But if this is real, then it is the most vital, crucial thing in all the world. And the heart of a disciple is a heart of sacrifice. It is a heart for the love and obedience to God's word. It is a heart to love people. And it is a heart to give all for the kingdom of God. In John 15:8, we hear one final aspect of the heart of a disciple. That you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. The heart of a disciple is fruitful. There are two kinds of fruit that the Bible talks about. The first is what I guess I would call character fruit. It is a transformation of your life and your character and your actions. Best exemplified in Galatians chapter 5 when it says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no control. Let me ask you, who've been a Christian for 5 years, or 10 years, or 20 years, have you grown in the fruit of the Spirit, the character of Jesus Himself in your life? Have you become more loving? Have you become more self-controlled, more kind, more gentle? Well, it's hard to generate those things, isn't it? You know how you get those things? It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's the result of rubbing shoulders with Jesus. The more time you spend alone, intimately with Jesus, the more you become Him. Scripture says, as a man, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. And as you spend that much time with Jesus, you're going to become more and more like Him. And that is the fruit of a true disciple. The fruit of the Spirit, the character of Jesus. But there is another kind of fruit, and that is people fruit. Who has God placed in your life to share the love of Jesus? I realize not all of you are, just a couple of us. I see 3, 4, 5 pastors maybe in this audience. The rest, we're paid to be good. You guys are good for nothing. But the point is, you have more opportunities than I do. You go to work. Those people at your work, they see your life. They see your work. They hear your words. They see your attitude. They see your spirit. And if it reflects Jesus, it's going to open them up to you. You go to the grocery store. You go to Myers. And you go to lane number 4, that pretty little girl, Cheryl, in lane 4. That's my wife. And I'll tell you what. She loves Myers. You know, oh, gosh. You're a checkout girl at Myers? It's the greatest opportunity for ministry you will ever see. She has the same people come through her lane every single week. And she smiles and they say, you know, Cheryl, why are you so joyful? She says, you know, I can't help it. Jesus just fills my life. Oh, gosh. And that person goes away and said, Jesus fills her life. And all of a sudden, that same person who had the same emptiness that I had starts to think and the Holy Spirit begins to work on their life. Do you know one of the names for the Holy Spirit is? The Hound of Heaven. I shared Christ with a girl at one of our universities, and she said, and I said, you know, you have sin in your life. Just like a drug dealer. You think I'm as bad as a drug dealer? No, we were in Starbucks. And she is screaming at me, you think I'm as bad as a drug dealer in Starbucks? She was furious at me. She got up and walked out. People are looking at me. Hello? That girl, that night, put on her jammies, climbed onto the top bunk of her bed. He said, I'm as bad as a drug dealer in sin in my life. Ow! The Holy Spirit began to speak to her heart. Isn't that amazing? Don't be afraid to offend somebody. Do it in love, but the gospel is an offensive message. You're not okay. You're a sinner. You're lost. People need to hear that, because then the Holy Spirit says, oh! And God's Spirit spoke to her heart, and in 2 days, that girl was baptized into Jesus Christ because the Hound of Heaven worked in her life. I thought I blew it, but I didn't. My point is, there's fruit in the disciple's life. It is the fruit of the Spirit, character, that comes from spending so much time with Jesus, and there's people fruit. And whether it's at your work, in your play group, in your coffee club, or wherever it is, God will give you opportunities. Because if you know that desperation in your own heart, the desperation of being lost and then finding it in Jesus, you know that some other people have that same. And they can have a hope in Jesus. What kind of fruit are you producing in your life? Are you growing in the fruit of the Spirit? Do you have people in your life? Some of you will say to me this morning, this is a hard teaching and it's too much to ask. Jesus said, if anyone come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. If you want to be my disciple, you got to love. Whoever holds my teachings would be my true disciple. But you know, there's something freeing and joyful when we come to surrender all to Jesus. I want to encourage you as believers, listen to what Jesus says. And if you're not a believer, I want to encourage you. Yes, it is a difficult call, but consider the alternatives. To be lost, hell is a real place. If you truly know the depth of hell from which you are saved by Jesus, you will not say, this is too difficult. You will simply say, what more can I do as a disciple of Jesus? Let's pray. Jesus, thank you so much for your word, for its encouragement, for its powerful message. It is a gut-wrenching message, Lord, but it is one that brings salvation to those who would respond. And Lord, I pray for us as a church that we might rise up out of love for you to seek to follow and implement your teachings into our lives. Father, I pray for that man and woman who is really struggling, whose life is out of control, who may be under the control of addictions, who feels lonely and discouraged and disheartened, that they may know that you love them. And that if we would simply come to you humbly in repentance, you will change and transform our lives. Thank you, Jesus, for loving us. Thank you for your word. And I pray in your name, amen.